Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke tonight, if you will. Luke's Gospel tonight. I know that I was in this text on a Wednesday night a while back, and my memory's not real good at all. That's the truth. But I'm going to say something to you tonight, church. If my Lord stirred my heart to preach out of that same text I preached on this morning, again next Sunday morning, I ain't got no better sense to hit it again. I just want to find His mind and do what He wants me to do. Amen. Now, I know I've been in this text before and recently on a Wednesday night, but I'm back in it, and I tell you, I believe it's perfect timing. This has been part of my daily Bible reading, and it's just been a real blessing. In Luke chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse number 28, and it's a rather, excuse me, not Luke chapter, yeah, Luke chapter 9, let's see. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I'm about to shout. You say, preacher, what's the matter with you? I didn't realize it started like that. Do y'all see what it starts in verse 27? But I tell you of a truth. Was anybody here this morning? I didn't realize. I thought I was in the wrong verse. It looks so much like where we was at over there in the book of John. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James, and he went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And the word of God said here, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. I'm going to make a point after a while, and this reinforces it. In verse 30, talked with him. They talked with him, with Jesus. Two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Until last week, I didn't know they said anything. I've read over that and read over that and read over that and read over that, and I never realized that Moses and Elijah said something up there on the Mount of Transfiguration. I dismissed it. That's why they call it the living word. Brother Danny, you don't get it all the first time through, or the second time through, or the third time through, or the fourth time through. If I'd lived to read it 300 times through, it would still be fresh. And it would still be new. And the word of God said here, they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, that Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah, not knowing what he said. Never had seen that before either. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Let me ask you a question. What did Jesus say in all this? Nothing. We can learn something from Jesus. He said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Watch this. Come on with me down here in verse 35. The Bible said, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my Son, my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of the things which they had seen. they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him again, and he foameth again. And he teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. I besought thy disciples to cast him out. And they, notice here now, the word is not would not. The word is could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. While they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, here's our text tonight, look at verse 44, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. I want to preach tonight with the help of the good Lord Jesus, the precious Holy Spirit, on some things we need to let sink in. Some things we need to let sink in. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I need you. I beg you, Lord, to speak tonight through us. Help us. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that the Word of God, Lord, would just accomplish that which is needed in our midst tonight. God, I love my people. I'm limited, Lord, in what I can do. But God, tonight you're not limited. And I ask you, Father, tonight, to do that, that needs to be done. And Lord, I pray tonight that these things that you put in my heart this week would not only sink down into my own heart and life, but Lord, every heart and life present here tonight. Help us, Lord, let these things sink in, and we'll give you glory for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Some of these truths tonight may seem to be elementary. But let me say something to the Church of the Living God tonight. Sometimes that's exactly what we need. Just to get back to basics. Amen. You remember back yonder when the Lord saved you? How there was a hunger for His Word. How there was it was not a chore to pray. It was a joy to pray. Amen. Remember when you just thought it was an eternity between Sunday night and Wednesday night. You just couldn't wait to get back to the house of God. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I believe the Lord wants to speak to our hearts. Let me give you some things tonight that we need to let sink in. Preacher's preaching to preacher tonight too. Amen. I've been chewing on this all week. Amen. I wouldn't give you a dime for somebody's trying to feed a congregation something they're not willing to eat themselves. God has spoke to my heart. Amen. I pray He'll speak to yours. Let me show you some truths tonight. I've got 10 of them. Don't get all worried tonight. Amen. If God gives us all 10 of them tonight, we'll get them. But if God gives us Wednesday night, we'll get them Wednesday night. If it takes next Sunday morning. But I think I'll just run through them and give them to you, because I think they speak for themselves. Amen. The first truth tonight that I see in a list of 10 little statements that the Spirit of God dealt with my heart about is we need to come apart so we won't come apart. Look at verse number 28 right here. The Bible said, and it came to pass after 8 days, after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. The word of God said in Mark 6:31, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of God's people that are coming apart because they've not learned the necessity to come apart and come to the Lord, amen, and spend some time with Him. A mountain. I'm learning. There's no wonder. No wonder. Even in the days of Jesus, before there was one of these. Before there was email. Even in the days of Jesus, the Word of God said over and over and over, a great while before day. A great while before day. He had to get up, brother. When it broke daylight and everybody got breakfast, he was in high demand. Say amen. He had to get up and get apart and spend some time with his Father. I'll tell you something, I believe with all my heart. I believe it changes preacher. I believe it changes church. Amen. You say, preacher, what, don't you like it the way it is? Hey, sanctification is a process of change. Amen. The Lord's wanting to make us more like Jesus. In order for that to happen, we're going to have to spend some time with Him. How many's done figured out? You can forget it at 9 o'clock. How many's done figured that out? Say amen. You can forget it. And the Word of God's teaching us here, we need to come apart. The Bible said in Mark 9:2, after 6 days, Jesus take Peter with Him, and James and John leadeth them into a high mountain apart by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. In other words, He understood the need to take His disciples, get them out of the crowd, and get them alone, amen, with Him, with His Father. I believe today, there are many of God's people coming apart. How many knows what I'm talking about? They're coming apart because they're not coming apart and spending some time with Him. The second statement the Lord gave me. Watch verse 29 right here. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered. And His raiment was white and glistering. Let me give you this. And I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm telling you this is how God spoke to my heart. I hope it'll stick in us. We need to come apart so we don't need to come apart. But let me give you this. This is what God spoke to my heart. An altar before God. A-L-T-A-R. An altar. They went apart to pray. An altar before God will make us altered before men. It will alter. A-L-T-E-R. It will change us before men. Jesus is standing there. He's prayed. And the Lord is changing His appearance. And I believe with all of my heart, amen, that we need the light of the Lord, amen, to shine forth in our life. An altar before God will alter, that word change. A place of prayer before God will change us before men. How many believes that? It'll change us. An altar before God will alter us before men. I thought about the Word of God said over there in John chapter 13 and verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love. Can I just say something to you tonight? Let me tell you what I believe is impossible. I believe it's impossible for me to crawl up in His lap, brother, in prayer, and come out of that position and not love you. Amen. It's impossible to love Him whom you have not seen, and hate Him whom you have seen. Read the book of 1 John. I'm telling you, when you crawl up in His lap and you crawl up in His presence, it will alter you before men. It'll put a love in your heart for mankind. Amen. Sinners and saints alike. I've been with preachers so many times when statements like this were made. I want you to look going yonder. I want you to look. If I tell you all I can think about, Brother Ron, it's the grace of God, it's not me. My daddy and I went to work in Meadowview, Virginia. Went to work one morning and there was a guy out in the intersection and he was acting like somebody was beating his brains out. And there wasn't nobody there but him. He was right out in the intersection. Daddy looked over at me and tears were running off my chin. And Daddy said, "What's wrong, son?" I said, "Daddy, if the Lord hadn't have got a hold of me, that might be me standing out there at that intersection. Amen! Might be me." An altar before God will alter us before men. Let me give you the third statement. Look here with me in verse number 30 and 31. Please listen carefully right here, church. Listen carefully right here. Behold, the Bible said there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. Notice what the Bible said. And they spake of his decease, which he should be accomplished in Jerusalem. Listen to this. Think about this for just a minute. Here they are on the mountain. Jesus is transfigured in front, right before their eyes. Amen. How many's ever heard a statement like this? Boy, we got in the glory today. Amen. How many's heard a, I'm telling you, these old boys was in the glory. Amen. Here's how God spoke to my heart. You might be in the glory on the mountain today, but there's a valley. These men are prophets. Thank God they're not TV preachers. They told the truth. They said, "Listen, we're up here in the glory." And they spake. When they said something, it was of the decease, which was going to be accomplished at Jerusalem. They said, "We're on the mountain, but we want you to know something. Alley waiting down there." Some of God's people are all good on the mountain. And they just don't understand that for every two mountains, there's a valley. It blew my mind. Of all the things to talk about, Brother Ron, on the Mount of Transfiguration, it ain't no wonder, Brother Ralph, we like preaching about Calvary. It ain't no wonder we like singing about Calvary and about the blood. And amen, of all the things to talk about, they said something's going to happen down there in Jerusalem that's going to change the world. Amen. Jesus is going to die on an old rugged cross. They spake of his decease, which should be accomplished at Jerusalem. That may not do for you what it did for me. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It helped me. The Bible is teaching us here. We may be on the mountain now, but likely there's a valley ahead. Number four. Look at verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. How many can identify with that? Some are in the glory and some are asleep. Some sit in services like we had this morning and say, "What's the big deal? Am I right or am I wrong? What difference does it make?" Peter and John are asleep. Now let me give you some things here. In verse 32, he says they were heavy with sleep. They, when they were awake, they saw his glory, and two men that stood with him came to pass. They departed. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias," not knowing what he said. Let me just give you some things quickly. You could read on down through verse number 36 here. While he thus spake, the cloud came. They feared. The voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son." I'm just paraphrasing right here, but God is in as much saying this to Peter. Shh. Hush. It ain't time to talk. It's time to listen. Hear him. Hear him. You say, preacher, I don't understand what the point is right here. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Prayerlessness in sleep will lead to carelessness in speech. When we're not praying like we ought to be praying, we're going to be saying things we hadn't ought to be saying. You say, preacher, I don't understand how you got that. I don't either, except to tell you the blessed Holy Ghost, give it to me. Watch this. Listen to me. I've read this hundreds of times, and I've never seen it before. But here, my friend, is Peter, and he says, it's good for us to be here. I can buy that. I preached on that a little while back. He said, let us build three tabernacles. Let me tell you something right now. There's never to be three tabernacles. If Peter would have said, hey, there ought to be a tabernacle for my Lord. I can buy that. But you can't put Moses and Elijah and Jesus on the equal together. It was to be a tabernacle for the Lord. And the Bible said, not knowing what he said. I tell you, I can relate to that. Somebody say amen. I've opened my mouth before my brain or the Holy Ghost, either one, got in gear. Say amen. And didn't even realize what I was saying. And here they are. Prayerlessness. Get sleepy. And got time to pray. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, I've got too much to do to pray. I believe it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, I've got too much to do not to pray. Amen. Prayerlessness in sleep will lead to carelessness in our speech. There are three tabernacles. No, we ought to just say one, not knowing what he said. They sensed his presence. It's good for us to be here, but they missed his purpose. Hear him. Let me ask you something. What would it do? I'm the pastor here. God, let me be the pastor here. This is my people. What would it do if just my people, every time before we came to church, said, Lord, I know you're going to have something to say to me today. I don't know if it'll be through a testimony. I don't know if it'll be through a song. I don't know if it'll be through my Sunday school teacher. I don't know if it'll be through my pastor. But Lord, would you help me to hear what you've got to say to me today? Everybody, that's a good prayer right there. Amen. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him. How many believes at times in our Christian experience, I didn't say yours, I said ours, we get dull of hearing. Years ago, I was coon hunting. I got over that in two nights. Two nights. These guys, brother, one of them had a $5,000 dog. A $5,000 dog. We went out that first night, and this one man's dog, it got on a coon track, and it was a moonlit night. And if there's any coon hunters here, you know more about it than I do, but this is what they told me. They said, on a moonlit night, a coon is very apt to go in a hole instead of going up a tree. These guys didn't have no sense. The coon went in the hole, and they sent me to the house. We was over behind my house. He said, what for? A pick and a shovel. He said, preacher, go get us a, I wasn't a preacher then. He said, Rick, go get us a shovel and a pick. And you got an old corn sack? He said, we'll get him out of there. And we did. It took a while. We started on that end of a groundhog hole. Started on that end. We kept a digging till there was a place of earth about that big over that coon. Took that shovel handle, shoved him back up in that bag. Everything was going good. This man was tying the bag shut with his mining light, had on welding gloves, and that coon bit him. Through the sack, through the glove, and everything. I'm not going to tell you what he said. Wasn't pretty. He said, preacher, I don't understand that. Listen to me carefully. I'm going somewhere. The next night, because we knew there's coons in the region now, the next night they bring this other guy with that $5,000 champion. Oh, he's boasting all the way to the woods. My dog won't bark in the hole. My dog won't bark. How many knows a dog's a dog? I'm telling you, that dog took off towards the river. Took off towards the river. all of a sudden, you could tell. And this guy, the $5,000 dog, he looked at Mo. He said, Mo looked at him first and said, I believe that's your dog. He said, oh, no, my dog won't bark in the hole. He said, preach, I don't understand what you're trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to say. Coon hunters take a lot of pride in knowing the voice of their dog. Am I right or am I wrong? Brother Larry, we got over there and I never moved from where I'm standing. It took us a half hour to walk down there to the river where them dogs was at. And that $5,000 dog, all you could see was the tip of his tail. He had done dug in there all over. And that guy, Tim, he grabbed that dog by the tail. He pulled that dog out of there and he beat that dog about half to death. It embarrassed him so bad. But he said, my dog won't bark in the hole. He said, preacher, why'd you tell that story? Isn't it a shame that a coon hunter would know the voice of his dog better than you and I would know the voice of our Lord? What happened that night? Why was Tim so embarrassed? He mistook the voice of his dog. Can I tell you something right now? Listen to me carefully right here, church. Just give me this. That's where we run into a lot of embarrassment too. When we miss the voice of our Lord. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I believe with all of my heart that prayerlessness in sleep, it will lead to carelessness in our speech. We need to come apart so we won't come apart. An altar before God will alter us before men. We may be on the mountain now, but there's likely a valley ahead. Prayerlessness in sleep will lead to carelessness in speech. Look at verse 41. I'm just going to quote a verse of Scripture and go on. The fifth thing is, in verse number 41, watch this now. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Here's all I'm going to say. If you've been around long, you know it's the truth. If you ain't been around long, you'll figure it out. The book of Proverbs done told us, here was my statement when God showed me that verse. Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Here's what God said. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Jesus didn't sugarcoat it. Jesus just told it like it was. Can I just stop and say something? Listen to me. I'm not saying this about our church. It may be true of our church. But I'll tell you something right now. If John the Baptist showed up in the average Baptist church today, they wouldn't have him long. He'd just preach too straight, wouldn't he? Amen? I'm telling you that open rebuke in the Word of God is better than secret love. Sometimes it's just better to take the stand for what's right. Number six. In verse number 37, the Bible said, look at this. They come down from the hill. In verse number 28, the Bible said they went up into a mountain to pray. Watch this with me now, carefully. Here's the statement. Power in the valley. When Jesus come down, he had power, didn't he? Power in the valley is a result of prayer on the mountain. God only knows what kind of valley you and I might face this week. So wouldn't it be good just to face it prepared? Wouldn't it be good just to face it prayed up? Wouldn't it be good just to be able to say, hey, I know I'm on the mountain now, but there may be a valley ahead. You know why we like them songs the choir was singing a while ago and that song the quartet sang a while ago? I'll tell you why. We're longing for the day when we leave all the valleys behind. Amen. But until then, We need to understand that power in the valley is a result of prayer on the mountain. Let me hurry along. I contemplated a few minutes ago, finishing this Wednesday night. We're going on. It's needed. Number 7. Watch this. In verse number 38, the Word of God said, "Behold, a man of the company." Now watch this. In verse number 37, the Bible said, "Much people." Everybody see it? There's a crowd. But there's one man fixing to get Jesus' attention. How many understands that? Much people. But the Bible said in verse number 38, a man of the company cried out. And he said, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. He's my only child, and a spirit taketh him. He suddenly crieth out, it tears him, and he foams again. It's bruising him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." And Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation, bring thy son hither." And while he was yet coming, the devil threw him down right in front of Jesus. You say, "Preach, I don't understand. What's the next statement?" Let me give it to you. Got two more after this and we'll be done. Listen. An emergency in the family. How many knows what I just said? An emergency in the family demands an urgency in our faith. In other words, we've got to get to the place where we understand it's a situation. You say, "Preacher, I can't call 911 over this situation." How many knows there's a spiritual 911? I remember years ago, Brother Danny Sykes was preaching over there at Oak Glen. And Brother Danny said something I hadn't thought about. He said, "We need to get the old back in the altar." When people would cry, oh God, sometimes they couldn't even pray. All they could say was, "Oh God." I'm telling you that an emergency in the family, this man, one man out of a whole crowd, cried out. Watch this. He didn't give up because the disciples couldn't do nothing. Sometimes if we don't get an answer the first time, we're done. Say amen. We give up. Amen. He said, "I'm not giving up. That's my son. I love him. I'm not giving up. I know there's a devil there. And I know it's tearing him. But thank God I know one. I have faith that if he can get a hold of him, he can change him." Amen. An emergency in our family. It demands an urgency in our faith. Brother Brian, you're talking about these tough ones like Brother Joe and Brother Lowell a while ago. But I can honestly say tonight, if Brother Joe was sitting right here and he just slumped over or something, buddy, I'm going to quit preaching and we're going to get our brother the help that as quick as we can, amen. Some of us will bombard the altar and some of us will get on our cell phone trying to get him some help in here. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" It's an urgent matter. He needs some help. That's what the doctor said to him Thursday. He said, "Son, your gallbladder's rotten." He said, "I operate on Tuesday and Friday." Brother Joe said, "Well, let's get it out in the morning." Brother Joe's the kind of fella that his daughter said, "I need to call the pastor." He said, "No, he's got enough to do. Leave him alone." I told her, "The next time you listen to pastor and don't listen to daddy." All I'm telling you is, folks, sometimes it's easy to see, Brother Fred, if somebody slumps over, that there's an urgency and an emergency. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lot of emergencies that we can't see tonight. There's a lot of people standing at the crossroads of life, and I tell you, the wrong turn. And that emergency in the family demands an urgency in our faith. Two more things, right? Watch this. I'm not proud. No, it's three more things. Sorry about that. Number eight. I won't spend a lot of time right here, but let me just make the statement. God give me faithlessness, and perverseness go hand in hand. When we get to where we ain't believing God, somebody say amen. Amen. Ain't no telling what we're going to end up in. Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse. He said, preacher, why are we living in a perverse society? Because we're living in a faithless society. How many knows I'm telling it right? Say, preacher, why do preachers go down the wrong road? Why do deacons at times, or somebody that used to be a singer at times, why do they go down the wrong road? I tell you something, somewhere along the line they stopped believing God. They stopped walking by faith and they started walking in the flesh. Remember what I told you this morning? Here's the problem in this generation. The flesh has learned how to have church. Am I right or am I wrong? So faithlessness and perverseness. That word is not or, it's and. That links them together. I'm not an English major. My wife reminds me of that often. But I know that and links two things together. You say, preacher, why should I stay in my Bible? Is anybody getting it? Where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We like to think of that as the sinner getting saved, and that's true. What about us? Is there anybody here tonight, like the disciples, if you could ask Jesus for something, would say, Lord, increase my faith? Well, how are we going to have an increase in faith without an increase in the Word of God? I meant to print it off a while ago. I may read it to you Wednesday night, the devotion that I got from Adrian Rogers this morning. Talking about the importance of the Word of God. It was wonderful. Two more things. I like this. Look in verse number 9. Excuse me, this is number 9. Look in verse 42. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Here's the statement the Lord gave me. The child was delivered from the devil, and the child was delivered to his father. Amen. You say, I don't understand the point right there, preacher. We're living in a generation. It works both ways. Where they're claiming they've been delivered from sin, but they have nothing for the Bible, nothing for the house of God, nothing for prayer. I'm telling you, when you get delivered from the devil, you get delivered to the Father. Somebody say amen right there. The Bible said, whom the Lord forgiveth much, the same loveth much. Is that right? And I believe with all my heart it's important to see that our God is still in the delivering business. But when He delivers from the devil, He delivers to the Father. I don't know about you tonight. That comforts me. That blesses my heart. The last thing tonight in the message, and I'm done. Would somebody go out of here tonight and tell somebody else that I preached the message with 10 points in it in about 40 minutes? They won't believe it, but tell them anyway. Amen. The last thing tonight. Look in verse number 45. The Bible said here, but they understood not this saying. It was hid from them. They perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of the saying. Jesus said, these are some things you need to let sink in. Let them sink down into your ears. The first thing was, we need to come apart so we won't come apart. An altar before God will alter us before men. We may be on the mountain now, but there's likely a valley ahead. Prayerlessness in sleep will lead to carelessness in our speech. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Power in the valley is a revolt of prayer on the mountain. An emergency in the family demands an urgency in the faith. Faithlessness and perverseness go hand in hand. The child was delivered from the devil and delivered to his father. Now watch this. Listen to me carefully, church. This is important. I'm done. They did not understand. See it? They understood not. Verse 45. They did not understand in the valley. Everybody listen? They did not understand in the valley because they did not listen on the mountain. Listen to me carefully, church. There's a tendency about every one of us, your pastor included, there's a human tendency. When things are going real well, Brother Wayne, the Bible's not as important. Prayer's not as important. Church is even not as important. That's that. How many knows I'm telling it right? But Brother John, you let the bottom fall out of everything. And a lot of people, they don't understand because they weren't listening on the mountain. They weren't listening when everything was going well. They weren't listening. Amen. It happens in churches. God takes churches through glory stages. Amen. Amen. People are getting saved. God's a blessing. Amen. Everything's going wonderful. And then a valley comes. And some people don't understand in the valley because they weren't listening on the mountain. These disciples did not understand. Jesus was fixing to go. Have his beard plucked out. Have his eyes beat shut. Be spit on. Be scourged. Be nailed to an old rugged cross. And the reason they didn't understand in the valley is because they was asleep when Moses and Elijah told them what was going to happen up on the mountain. Amen. Folks, tonight, I hope that God will speak to our hearts. That we'll let these things sink in tonight. Because God only knows who's going to need it next. My phone may ring, Brother Gary, before I get to the house. Be in a deep, dark valley. So I want to try to listen to him. Somewhere down the road, our church may face a valley of some kind. I want to listen to him while I'm on the mountain, that I might understand his voice in the valley. I'm just glad you come tonight. How many's ever heard a ball player say something like this? I left it all on the field. How many's ever heard a statement like that? Well, I can honestly say I'm leaving the church tonight. I've left it all on the field. Thank you for staying with me today. I believe God will help us. I'm trusting God too. How many of y'all ever had a youngin' that's sick? And you felt so helpless. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. I used to have earaches, Brother Lowell, and my mama would heat diapers on the stove and wrap them around my head. Mama said to me one time, Brother Houston, she said, honey, she said, Mama ain't walking with God. God ain't listening to Mama. I said, honey, you're a child. I said, if you'll talk to Jesus, he'll help you. And they please, if you'll talk to Jesus, he'll help you. He'll help you. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. God, it's a joy tonight to be among your people. Lord, we're going to go into another week now. You help us till in the morning. We'll start out, Lord, some working, some in school. Lord, we're going to face opposition. But with that opposition is going to come opportunities. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be like the children of Israel. I can't remember where it was, Lord, but over in the book of Psalms somewhere it said they limited the Holy One of Israel. Lord, they said, can God prepare for us a table in the wilderness? God, I believe with all of my heart today, you've prepared a table for Bible Way today. God, I thank you, Lord, for letting us glean. Help us this week, our Father. Lord, I pray for our families, Lord, that are going through valleys. I ask you, Father, to do what only you can. Lord, when we love you, we know that all things are not good, but we know that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord, for these verses in the Bible. Thank you for speaking to my heart. I pray, Lord, we'd let these things sink down into our ears, into our heart. Because, Lord, it may not be long, we'll need it. In Jesus' name.